from the Gaugasamita was spoken by one great sage to Duryodhana, who we think of course, as a demon, and he was a demon, so inimical to the Pandavas. Even Vidura said that Duryodhana was offense personified, the personification of envy. But yet, somehow or another, he was a devotee of Lord Balaram. Somehow or another. So Duryodhana was asking about how to offer respects to Balaram. And these prayers, the names of Lord Balaram were given to him by a great rishi. So he said, these names of Balaram were given by Gargamuni, Gargarishi, to the gopis on the bank of the Yamuna. And first there's a meditation. I glorify Lord Balaram, who is decorated with a glittering crown. He wears bracelets, tinkling ornaments, and the hairs on his head, they move in a gentle way on his cheeks. He wears splendid earrings on his handsome face, and his garments are dark like a monsoon cloud, and he holds a great club and plow, and he fulfills all desires. He's handsome like a mountain of ice and snow. Now that is interesting. Of course, Lord Balaram is unlimitedly beautiful, but he also fulfills all desires. Now, what do you think about that? We can all take out our list and fill our hearts right now with desires. But I recommend that we leave the lower ones out, and we keep our level of consciousness up to the level of our highest desires, the best of us, so to speak. Because in time, due to the passing of time, our lower desires will appear very insignificant and foolish even. Because in time, everything on the material level is crushed into powder. So, in this world, perhaps we have mixtures within our desires, but now let us keep our desires very high. The best of us, because Lord Balaram can fulfill those. Right now I won't bother desiring that the children are quiet, because they will be quiet in time when they grow up maybe. Okay. So here is the first of the names of Balaram. Lord Balaram is supremely powerful and supremely happy. And also one thing that I would like to suggest. During this presentation, any time that I happen to become inspired and say, Lord Baladeva ki jay, then we would like everyone to become enthusiastic and respond properly. Yes, like this. Lord Balarama ki! Very, very good. He's supremely powerful and happy. He is the supreme enjoyer. He's all attractive. He's infallible. He's the lover of brevity. He is the splendid supreme personality of Godhead. And he who is Kama Phal, he fulfills all desires. And he carries a plow weapon called Halayuddha. Now we'll speak about Baladev Tattva in a few moments, but first just the hearing of Balaram's name. He dresses in garments of what color? Blue. Yes, who said that? Very good. His complexion is fair. He's splendid and powerful. And he's the elder brother of the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the killer of Palumba. He's a great hero. He is the son of Rohini. And he's very powerful. On his flag, on his chariot, it bears the symbol of a palm tree. He holds a club. He holds a plow. And he takes away all inauspiciousness. All those things that make our life material, spiritual, everything that give us trouble, he takes them away. And he is the best of the Yadus. He is powerful. He holds a plow in his hand. He has hands that are like lotuses. And he holds a club. And he also, along with Krishna, knows how to play a flute. He divides the Yamuna. Who knows the name of the place where Balaram, with his plow, divided the Yamuna? What is the name of that place? No one knows. Ramagata. Have you been to Ramagata? Yes. He is heroic. He is powerful. He's exalted. He's the first expansion of Krishna. And he's limitless. And he is independent. His eyes roll in intoxication when he drinks the Varuni beverage. His eyes are like lotus flowers. He wears a garland of lotus flowers and a vanamali, a forest garland, and his fame is very sweet. He's more handsome than millions of Kamadevas, and he's worshipped by the wives of the snakes. There's many pastimes attached to these names. He wears tinkling anklets, a belt, golden bracelets, and golden armlets on his hand. He wears a crown and earrings. He carries a staff. He also wears a peacock feather. And he likes to fight. And I will give you some advice. Don't fight with Balaram. Because Balaram gets angry very easily. And he is time. When you think of time, what do you think of? Balaram is time, because the time is the energy of the Paramatma. It is unstoppable. What do you think of when you think of time? Destruction. Kalosmin lokachaya krit. What else do you think of when you think of time? It never stops. It's not going to come back again. Once gone, it's gone. What else do you think of when you think of time? Old age and that terrible thing called death. And death means going from one body to the next. This body is gone, taking on a new body. So death and birth, hand in hand. What else do you think of when you think of time? Rushing. Rushing from here to there, trying to be on time. And always being a little bit late, minimum of a little bit late. So he is time. Time is unstoppable in this world. In the spiritual world, time serves Krishna and his pastimes. Everything is subordinate. Time is like a big stirring rod of our life, of our karma, and it moves things forward. We may be having a good time, it will end. We may be having a bad time, it will also end. Time always keeps things moving. It forces our karma, our fate, to occur. Time pushes forward. It's all powerful in this world. And Balaram, so he is time, and he's fitted with armor. He's a warrior. He's a friend of Uddhav. He's a counselor. He's expert at giving counsels. If you have any problems, Prabhupada once said in Vrindavan, you take them to Balaram. He's a counselor. And he's the expert counselor. He holds the conch, disc, and club. He's a killer of great warriors. He charmed Revati's heart. He's the lord of Revati's life. And he is the delight of Revati. In a few moments we'll talk about how Balaram came to marry Revati. He dragged the city of Hastinapur. And that is a wonderful pastime during the time of Sambha's marriage to Lakshmana. Balaram came to talk peace, and the Kurus insulted him, and Balaram became angry, and he took his plow and he dragged the Hastinapur. He began to drag the whole city into the Yamuna River. He's a great chariot warrior. He is worshipped by the Kauravas. He created the universes. He is the giver of religion to the universes. He's the happiness of the demigods. He's an ocean of mercy. His eyes are like glittering stars. His lips are reddish like a bimb of fruit. His gentle smile is splendid and glorious. His arms are powerful like the trunks of elephants. He can become ferocious. He is splendid like a host of monsoon clouds. His chest is like a great door. His shoulders are broad. His feet are splendid lotus flowers. He is very powerful. He is glorious. He's the master of all living entities. He's the liberator from material bondage. He is most wise and most intelligent. He enjoys water pastimes. He's beyond the modes of material nature. He's filled with transcendental qualities. He is Brihat, the greatest. He is seen by great devotees. He is heard by great devotees. He is the present, he's the past, and also the future. He is the super soul in everyone's heart. And his form can become so small, he can stay within an atom. He is without beginning. And yet he is the beginning of everything. He is the personification of bliss. He is the super soul in everyone's heart. He is eternal. He's equal to everyone. Samoham Sambhute Su. It is so nice, it is so fortunate if we can approach Balaram, especially on this day. And he sees everyone with equal vision. He is concealed, but yet he is openly manifested. He's filled with all virtues. He's eternal, imperishable, unchanging, undying. He's always happy. And his presence fills everyone with nectar. He is Brahman, the origin of Brahman, the origin of the demigod Brahma. He is the supreme teacher. He is all-pervading. He is the greatest philosopher. He is present in everyone's heart. He's present in all the material elements. He's present amongst the demigods. And he is the shelter of everything else that is a shelter. Balaram holds many lotus flowers in his hand. He's dressed in silk garments. He wears a jeweled cloak. And he's dressed in splendid clean garments. He stays in Goloka. He is Lord Ananta. He is all pervading. He stays in Mathura. He gazes at the sights of Mathura, and his eyes are restless like Kanjana birds, which are the wagtail birds. He removes all suffering from Dwarka. He is the auspiciousness of the citizens of Dwarka. He is the mother of the universes. He is the protector of the universes. He's the maintainer of the universes. And he's the father of the universe. He is a ferocious warrior, a hero in battle, and he's frightening even to the demigods and demons. And moving in the wind, his long hair and earrings are like a great elephant's ear. He is not independent. He is dependent on his devotees. His heart is always fixed on thinking of his devotees. He loves his devotees, and his devotees love him. He is charitable to his devotees. He is the devotee's kinsman. He is a monsoon cloud of nectar. He stays amongst his devotees, and his devotees stay in his heart. He is the abode of auspiciousness. Those are the names of Lord Balaram that we're going to read. Now, we'll hear Prabhupada speak something. He's going to speak about Krishna. Why don't we turn the lights off a bit? But he's going to speak also about Balaram. And from this we'll understand something about how powerful Lord Balaram is. Okay. Just double click it. And then open it up. Full screen. Okay. Let's hear, carefully listen to Prabhupada's words. Bhagavatam later on in his talk. And that verse means, Ete Changsakalo Pungsan Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. There are so many incarnations of God, and they are either amsas or kalas. Amsa means part, and a part of the part is called a kala. There are so many incarnations of God, that doesn't mean that there are many gods. But he comes in different forms, different aspects of his nature. But the original, supreme Lord the origin of all, Bhagavan Swayam, that is Krishna. Lord Brahma explains this in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto by saying, Narayanam Tvam Nahi Sarvadehinam. Narayano Angam Jalanat. He explains that even Lord Narayan is a part of Krishna. And Krishna is most mysterious and difficult to understand. And we shall hear about that a little later. But for now, we should understand, at least to some degree, that Krishna is the origin of everything. Mata parataram na anya kinchirasti dinandaya. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And his first expansion is Balaram. Baladev. Balaram. And today is the appearance of Lord Balaram.
The next expansion is Sankarsan Vasudev Amurudha Prabhu. The next expansion is Narayan. The next expansion again, second Chaturbhu. Sankarsan again, Vidya Chaturbhu. And the next expansion, Vishnu, Mahavishnu. Next expansion, Garbhodakshay Vishnu. The next expansion is Kirodakshay Vishnu. In this way, there are different expansions. But Krishna tu Bhagavan Adhyam Pujam Sasavam. Krishna is the ocean. Therefore Krishna says, Matsat Pratanam Nandam. I am not expansion of it. Sarvakarana Karam. Isharam Parama Krishna. We are all Isharas. Controller, Vishnu Tattva is controller, all that. Mayat Bhakshena Prakriti Shriyati is a charatam. Everywhere, Vishnu is the supreme controller. So, every Vishnu Tattva is controller. There is no doubt. And they have got equal power. Not that Lord Ramchandra is less powerful than Krishna. No. They have equal power. The example is described in the Brahma Sanghita. Dīpāsi rīvan dasāntaram abhūpe. Just like one candle. You ignite another candle. You ignite another, another, another. But all these candles, they are equally powerful. Although you can say this is first candle, this is second candle, this is third candle. Similarly, Vishnu Tattva, everyone is equally fast. Although Krishna is fast, Balaram is second, Sankarsan is third, like that. But they do not think they are less powerful. No. Vishnu Tattva means they are equally powerful. Shams, Ramadi Mutti Sukala Niyamena Tishan. Kala. Rama is expansion of Vishnu. But it is not that Rama is less powerful than Krishna. Nobody is less powerful. Ramadi Muttisi Palaniyamina Tishan Lana Avataram Apanad Bhuvani Sutindu. There are so many avatars. Krishna Sam Samavat Paramakumani. But Krishna is the Paramakumar, the Supreme Being, the Supreme Person. Krishna to Bhagavan Sayam. Everywhere, Ishara Parama Krishna, Satyananda Vidraha, Matta Paratanam Nanya. This is the conclusion of the sap.
So Prabhupada is explaining, as we've mentioned, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. This isn't just his opinion, this is the voice of Shastra. In epistemological terms, the question always comes up when you're talking about philosophy. How do you get knowledge? How do you know something is true? Because if you ask 10 different people what is true, you'll get 10 different opinions. So always, and if you ask 100 people, you'll get 100 different opinions. So philosophers always have different opinions about what is true and what's not true, what is consciousness, what is real, where the universe comes from. This is the business of philosophy, using one's intelligence to have a different opinion. So the science of gaining knowledge, in Western philosophical terms, is called epistemology. In the Vedic culture, there is a basis of knowledge. So one person is not allowed just to say, well, I think this, and another person says, well, I think that. And then the third person says, well, you may think that, but I think that. And it's not that everyone's opinion is considered equal, just because I think like that. But in the Vedic system, there is something called pramana, or the proof. And the highest pramana is shabda pramana, or the transcendental sound vibration, or shastra, or scripture. So Prabhupada is quoting shastra, or scriptures. So he's saying that it is not just my opinion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not just what I think, but he's quoting Shastra to say this is the conclusion of authority. The tested conclusion. If we base our life just on our opinion, our opinions are so limited. And they're corrupted by our minds. We can't even have a straightforward, honest opinion about what we think is best for us because our desires get in the way of our objectivity even. Our desires push and pull. We can't even know what's best for us because I want. So therefore, seers of the truth who want the best thing for themselves, they listen to Shastra. So, the conclusion of Shastra, Prabhupada is explaining, is, and the conclusion of philosophy, is Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Sayam. That there is a Supreme Person. There is an Absolute Truth. There is an Ishwara. There is God. And that supreme, absolute, with inconceivable power, unlimited inconceivable power, is ultimately Krishna. Now, Krishna has different expansions, but the original candle, in the analogy from Brahma Samhita that Prabhupada gives, it is Krishna. It is Krishna. And this is turns out to be the most amazing point about the Absolute Truth. He's a person, an unlimited person. He's unlimited in beauty, in fame, in strength. He's all attractive. He's all wise. And if we take shelter of him, then we are most fortunate. And his first expansion, who is equal to him in the sense that the second candle is equal to the first candle, is Lord Balaram. And because Krishna, Ekala Ishwara Krishna, are Sabha Britya, that there is one ultimate supreme, every other expansion, including each and every one of us, are most naturally suited to being the servant of the supreme. And in this world, everyone is acting not in a mood of servant, but trying to be the master. And that master means I'm trying to enjoy and exploit this universe, this world for my pleasure. And this is the root of our misery. Rather than finding pleasure, we find misery. So many expansions of Krishna. This is called Vishnu Tattva in the terms that Prabhupada used there. And they are all equal in the sense that one candle is equal in potency to the next candle. But yet there is an original, an origin, and that is Krishna. And he has a few special characteristics that he exhibits in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Okay.
So don't consider that Krishna, because he has come, appeared in Vrindavan like a cowherd boy. Never think opposing Vrindavan Vasi. They do not know what is Krishna. They are villagers. They do not know. But they do not love anyone more than Krishna. That is the quality. They do not know even Vishnu. When the gopis saw Vishnu Murti, Krishna seen the Vishnu Murti, they are passing. They said, oh, here is Vishnu, all right, namaskar. They are not interested in Vishnu. They are interested in Krishna. Although they do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, without knowing what is Krishna, if you simply become attached to Krishna, then your life is successful. Simply you have to, this is Krishna consciousness movement, have or other, you increase your attachment for Krishna.
This, as Prabhupada said, is the Krishna consciousness movement. We may have knowledge, we may have read the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Brahma Samhita, the Vedanta Sutra, so many different books, but if we haven't developed attachment for Krishna, then our study and learning amounts to practically nothing. And it won't save us, practically speaking. What to speak of help us develop love for Krishna. But on the other hand, Prabhupada gives the examples of the Braja Gopis who loved Krishna. This is the highest relationship. If someone is a lover of another person and sincerely and fully loves that other person, that is the criterion that will make that person trusted. Love causes trust, and trust causes revealing oneself. You'll reveal, talk about yourself, show who you really are to someone who loves you. So Krishna shows himself most completely to those who are most attached to him and who love him the most. So this is the Krishna consciousness movement. We may have great knowledge, we may have studied, we may not study, but let us develop our attachment to Krishna. And the gopis were so attached to Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan were so attached to Krishna, that even when they saw Krishna's expansion, Lord Vishnu, they were looking for Krishna. And they saw Krishna being very tricky. He took on the form of Lord Vishnu and hiding from them. And when they saw Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, they said to Lord Narayan, they offered their respects, and they said, could you tell us where Krishna is? Because from morning to night, and when they dreamed, slept in dreaming, they were thinking of Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. They were called ragatmika. That means their very cells were full of rag, attachment for Krishna. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. We want to become attached to Krishna. We want to become attached to Krishna. And that attachment is our true wealth. And if we gain so much other wealth and don't gain that wealth, we will be, at the end of our lives, poor, poverty-stricken, because we won't have anything of value. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, to develop love for Krishna.
Samaya, Dera Dera Pratayana, Mana Krishna Nivisa. This is Guru Goswami's instruction. Somehow or other, you become attached to Krishna, then your life will succeed. So this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to induce people how to become attached to Krishna. That is Bhakti Yoga.
Okay, but you can just leave it. But maybe we can. Yes. Yeah, turn the lights on, please. Now, I'd like. Now, here is. We're entering into the realm of Balaram's pastimes, his story, the stories of his activities. Not stories in the sense of fictional, made up stories. But this is the charita, or the activities of Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna when he appeared in this world in Krishna's service. Because this is the point is that even Balaram, Krishna's first expansion, who is no less than Krishna, practically speaking, he wants to serve. And his activities are always activities of assisting Krishna in his pastimes, in Krishna's activities. He plays assistant. So, Balaram, Krishna married how many wives?
Krishna married two wives.
No. Too many. But actually marrying 108 wives is nothing. He could marry unlimited wives. He could do anything because he's unlimitedly powerful. And this is his way of reciprocating with his devotees who want to love him in a specific mood. Balaram married two wives, Revati and different incarnations. Revati and Varuni. Yes?
Yes.
So, when there was once a wonderful princess many, many thousands of years ago, and this, hearing this pastime, and this, these pastimes that I read now, they all have false shrutis. There's, if you listen carefully, great benedictions come to you. So whoever hears the story of this, one's sins become removed and one's lifespan increases. So there was one king born in the Anartha province, which is Gujarat. And his son was King Raivata. And he had 100 sons and one daughter, and his daughter was named Revati. And she was a very determined princess. But she had a desire to marry a husband that was most handsome. He was better than all other men. And he lived eternally. So, one day, King Raivata placed his daughter on a chariot that was decorated with gold and jewels, and he searched the earth to find this husband that she wanted. And because he was mystically powerful, he traveled to Brahmaloka to find that husband with his daughter. And he bowed down before Lord Brahma. And at that time, there was one heavenly apsara singing. She was singing so sweetly that Brahma just said, just wait a few moments until her singing is finished. And then when Prince Chitti, the apsara, was finished singing her beautiful songs, the king expressed his desire to her, to Brahma, and said, my daughter needs a suitable husband. But she has these three desires in her heart for the qualification of her husband. He is to be the most beautiful, most handsome of men. He's to be better than all other men, and he's to be eternal. And Lord Brahma said, there's one problem, that you've been in Brahma Loka, and the time frame in Brahma Loka is different from that of Earth. And in the few moments you were here, it has been thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of earth time. And your families, all your relatives have passed away. And the kingdom and your palace crushed into fine powder by time. And no one even remembers anyone's names anymore or places. That's the bad news. The good news, and we can see why, if we hear this pastime, our life will increase. Because if we understand the temporary nature of this world, we won't keep our minds so involved in it. We won't be in so much anxiety, and we'll live a longer life just by that alone. So Brahma then explained how Balaram at this very time had advented himself on earth. And he is the perfect husband for your daughter. So immediately he said, you should approach Lord Balaram. He is the best of all. He's the jewel of all men. And he is the person that lives eternally. And offer your jewel-like daughter to him. Krishna and Balaram are the two original Supreme Personalities of Godhead. They are Goloka's two masters. And they have descended to remove the burden of the earth. Krishna and Balaram, who are the two Supreme Lords, who are the two masters of numberless universes, who are Vasudeva's two sons, and who are kind to their devotees, they are now splendidly manifest in Dwarka with the Yadavas as their companions. Immediately upon hearing this, not wishing to take any more time, Raivata bowed down and went to Dwarka. And he gave his daughter in charity to Balaram. There was a great festival in the capital of the Yadavas. In home after home, the Supreme Lord Balaram appeared with Srimati Revati. He went everywhere, to everyone's house in Dwarka. And anyone who hears this story of Lord Balaram's wedding becomes freed from all sins and attains the supreme perfection. Lord Balaram Ki! Now here's another story, a pastime about Lord Balaram. I'll have to tell it briefly. It's quite long, and you probably know some of it or all of it already. But it has to do with Balaram and Krishna, so it is wonderful. Now this story has to do with Krishna's marriage to his first wife, whose name was Rukmini. So Balaram plays a part in this as an assistant. So Narada Muni in the Gauga Samhita is telling this pastime to a king of Mathila. And he explains that Rukmini, just by hearing about Krishna's glories one time, Rukmini Devi, who was just a young girl, another princess, heard about Krishna's glories. And from that day, she only had one desire for her husband, and that was Krishna. And similarly, Narada Muni, after speaking to Rukmini about Krishna. He went to Krishna and spoke about Rukmini. And Krishna, because Rukmini is his eternal consort ultimately, the goddess of fortune, he fixed his mind on marrying her. But King Bhishmaka, the father of Rukmini, decided that he would give his daughter to Krishna. But his eldest brother, Rukmini, decided to give in charity Rukmini Devi to Shishupal, who was also powerful, but Shishupal was the great enemy of Krishna. When Rukmini heard this, that she was going to have to marry Shishupal, because in the Kshatriya and the kingly dynasty, sometimes the princesses were given the opportunity to choose their own husband in what is called Swayamvara ceremonies, but sometimes their parents chose, knowing what's best for their wonderful daughters, they chose who their daughter would marry. So Rukmini had fixed her mind completely on Krishna, and she was a warrior too. So she decided, I'm going to marry Krishna, and I don't care. And if I can't marry Krishna, I'm just going to think about him and perform austerities and give up my life. And then in a future birth, then I'll be able to marry Krishna. This is the kind of determination, the fixedness and consciousness about what we really want in life that brings results. And if we actually become fully definite in our purpose of achieving love for Krishna, then the results will come quickly. If we think, oh yes, I'd like to learn to love Krishna, become attached to Krishna, but I'd also like a new motorcycle, and I'd like this, and I'd like that, and why not do this, and why not do that? Abhudaya, vyavya sainam. This many-branched intelligence will not get us a proper result. Vyavya satmika buddhi, ekeha, one focus. So Rukmini was like that. She was focused on Krishna. So she called in a trusted messenger of Ramana and said, she expressed her desire to Krishna, which was quite amazing, considering that she was a young girl and Krishna was the king of Dwarka, practically speaking. Well, not that time, he was in Mathura. But just had moved to Dwarka. She expressed in a letter her desire. And she even told Krishna how he could effectively kidnap her. He told her exactly when would be the proper time when she would be visiting the temple of Durga. And when that Brahmin messenger came to Krishna in Durga to deliver the message, Krishna immediately, because he had already he knew the situation of Rukmini and he had already accepted her, he decided to kidnap her. And Krishna immediately left alone on a chariot to the city of Kundina to kidnap Rukmini. And hearing that Krishna had gone alone, Lord Balaram brought all the Yadavas' powerful armies to defeat the enemy king. So Krishna arrived very quickly in Kundina, and he saw that the city was protected by a great wall and a great moat. It was a great fortress. And when King Bhishmaka heard that Krishna had arrived, he immediately went out to greet Krishna. And he greeted him and cared for him so nicely. And then, the next day came the day of the proposed marriage ceremony. Rukmini was feeling very, very frightened because she had sent the messenger to tell Krishna, but the messenger hadn't returned. Krishna wasn't present. Maybe Krishna didn't want to marry her. But she became very, very worried about her situation. So, the next day, Rukmini, preparing for the marriage ceremony, was decorated with fine jewelry. And she was so beautiful. She was so beautiful as she walked to the Durga temple. There were so many princes there who had come for the wedding ceremony with Shishupal. But when they saw her, they simply fainted. She was so exquisitely beautiful. And Shishupal at that time, he was blessed and benedicted, and he was had the victory turban. Nowadays, the culture in India? The groom gets to do what on the wedding day? For one day, what does he do? Huh? He rides a horse. He gets on a horse, and on the horse for a day, he's the king. And then the rest of his life begins after that. So anyway, Sisupal mounted not a horse but an elephant. He was a king, and he was very powerful. And the Brahmins chanted different mantras, and they presented him with different protective things to make it successful. But then he and all his friends, who were also inimical to Krishna, heard that Krishna had arrived in Kandina and Balaram was there with his armies. Then Jarasandha became angry, and Salva, Dantavakra, Vidurata, Pondraka, they all went with Shishupal with their armies to protect him and make sure that the wedding would take place properly as planned. This is the Kshatriya warrior culture. Thousands of kings, all Sisupal's allies, eagerly came. So, Rukmini Devi was in so much anxiety. So much anxiety. And then suddenly, she saw Krishna. And she heard from the Brahmana that Krishna was eager to marry her. So, Bhishmaka, I forgot to mention this, when he saw Krishna, he felt so bad because he thought, why didn't I offer Rukmini to Krishna? Why did I listen to Rukmini? So, all the people of Kandina, seeing the unlimitedly beautiful Krishna, they were completely enamored. And they all began to say, Rukmini should marry Krishna. No one but Krishna should marry her. And the people of Kandina donated their pious karma of their previous births so that Krishna could marry Rukmini. So, Rukmini Devi, surrounded by armies, big armies, she went into the temple of Durga. This was the family tradition right before her marriage. And she began to pray. O wife of Lord Shiva, O beautiful and glorious one, I offer my respectful obeisances to you again and again. I have a prayer, and that is that Krishna Chandra, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above the world of matter, he will become my husband. And when she said this, this is her wedding day, and it's already arranged that she's going to marry Shishupal. And all of her friends heard this, and they were shocked, and they said, oh, beautiful one, don't even say the word Krishna. You should pray that Shishupal will become your husband. And Rukmini said, she ignored them, and she said to Durgadevi Parvati, oh, my friends who said this, they are only like little girls. They don't understand the truth. So Rukmini worshipped Parvati by garlanding her with sweet flowers and fragrances, and everyone blessed her. And then Krishna, in the midst of all this, with Dhammaghosha's son Sisupal on his elephant with his turban, and all the armies there protecting the circumstances from Krishna, Krishna on his chariot just pushed his way through the armies. Fast as wind, his chariot was decorated with a glorious flag, tinkling bells and ornaments. It was pulled by the best horses. It was driven by Dhruka. And Lord Krishna left the armies of Balaram there. And as his enemies looked on, he drove up and took Rukmini and placed her on his chariot. He twanged his Sangha bow. And in this way, he drove the chariot away and kidnapped Rukmini. And he went right in front of his own armies with Balaram. And filled with happiness, the demigods, the siddhas, everyone showered flowers on Lord Krishna's chariot from the Nandana gardens. As a lion takes a prize from a pack of jackals, so Lord Krishna took Rukmini. And Krishna, Balaram by his side, he just proceeded very slowly, not even in any anxiety, and a great cry of Jai, 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 Hare Krishna was heard. Now, we won't be able to finish the entire story because we will end at 7. But a great fight took place, and Balaram became so angry because Balaram was so powerful, and he was a warrior. He was a warrior. Warrior means a warrior's pride, that I can defeat everyone. I would rather die in battle than lose. So Balaram attacked all the other armies and completely defeated them. They went back, and Rukmi, the brother of Rukmini, became very proud and said, you have all run away being defeated by Balaram and his armies, but I will go out and I will defeat Krishna and I will bring back Rukmini. And if I don't do this, I will never again enter the capital city of Kundina. So he went charging on his chariot with his armies, with his arrows, with his club, with his spear. And he was calling out, Krishna, Krishna, turn and face me. Face me. You will be doomed. And he began shooting arrows at Krishna. And Krishna very, very quickly actually defeated him. But the nature of the Kshatriya warriors were, after smashing his chariot, after smashing his bow, there was Rukmi, just there with no weapons at all, and Krishna still had all his weapons. So Krishna put down his weapons. This is a warrior. You don't shoot your enemy when he's unarmed and when you're stronger than him. Equal fighting. They had such a spirit. So Krishna put down his weapons. And Rukmini, He grabbed him with his two arms. And then he took off his belt, his sash, and tied up Rukmi. And he took out his sword. And then the mobile phone went off. And then Rukmini said, "Don't kill my brother, don't kill my brother, don't kill my brother." And Krishna said, "All right." And he did something to a Kshatriya that was worse than killing him. He cut off his beard with his sword, half his beard, in such a way that only part would grow back. He scarred his face with his mustache. And then Balaram came by and said, "Oh, Krishna, look what you've done. You shouldn't do this. He's our family member now. You should release him." And in this way, because Rukmi also had a Kshatriya spirit, they released him and insulted him in that way. And then Balaram preached to him. He said, "You should know that things happen according to the way that, because according to our fate, so don't take this too hardly, too badly. You can just go now. When you release your enemy like that, what does it show? You don't fear him at all. So it's a great insult to a Kshatriya." In any case, they insulted Rukmi, sent him back, and later on, Krishna, there's a wonderful pastime where Krishna actually finishes, or Balaram actually finishes the story by killing Rukmi, because he always remained inimical. So, Krishna took Rukmi back to Dwarka, and they held a great ceremony, marriage ceremony. It's a wonderful story, a long story. And I'll just read the end. On the day of Krishna's marriage to Rukmini, the sacred city of Dwarka, which is decorated with many golden palaces, was glorious like King Indra's city of Amaravati. There was a great festival as Lord Krishna married beautiful face Rukmini. A person who with devotion hears this story of Rukmini's marriage becomes a great devotee in this world, and he becomes wealthy and glorious, and at the end he attains liberation. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Sat Balarama ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna Balarama ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
On hearing, but we have some time constraints, so.